The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I am John Gordon. Our beloved David Doval is not with us, getting some family time in this week, but not to fret, you are not stuck with me alone. We would love to have you welcome Mr. Mark Steiner. Mark is the new general manager of one of our longtime, partners or resources, probably the better choice of words, DryPro. Mark, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you, John?
Great. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you making time on a Saturday morning. I know that's precious time for y'all. Folks, we're going to talk about crawl spaces this morning. Crawl space will be our focus, and I know there'll be a lot of great questions. If something else comes up, certainly it's the same as always. Ask the question, and we'll get you the best answer and or get back with you or get you connected by email, whatever it is. This morning, we're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is how you get the questions to us. Mark, I want to take a minute here in this first segment and just kind of click off some things to get folks thinking about it. But before we do that, I guess just an official welcome. You are the new general manager, right? Just give us the Reader's Digest bio of Mr. Mark Steiner and why you chose to get engaged in the world of crawl spaces.
So I've been with DryPro over 13 years now, and most of my time was spent on the sales side of things as a sales mm-hmm. manager.
Right.
But in the beginning, I didn't know anything about crawl spaces, so I just jumped right in. We started learning how to install the products and learning what they mean, what they're supposed to fix. And then once I got good at that, I went to our service team to learn how to maintain the systems, because a lot of what we do does require, it's a system, right? So it requires right. some regular maintenance. And then I learned how to educate homeowners and share with them the benefits of being able to do what we do. And so I went on the sales team for quite a while. And then just this past fall is when I got the opportunity to be the general manager and share all my knowledge with the whole company and keep the ship right.
Awesome. You're kind of old school in your approach. I am too. I like to put my hands on anything for which I will be responsible. And that's not required, but I think it's great for that to be the case. And you said something that I would like to touch on, and I, you know, in the different things we talked about, let's make sure we cover these topics. I didn't jot down maintenance of an encapsulated crawl space or crawl space. And I think that might be one of those things like you do it and walk away and never think about it again. And that sounds like it's not like the right approach. But let's just lay out a couple things or a few things that I think might get folks thinking about questions that they would have relevant to their own scenarios. Crawl spaces, either you're of the mind to go in there and check things out, or you really don't want to be there ever in your life if it's at all possible. Most of the world falls into the latter category, but there's things that can go on in the crawl space. And typically the questions that David and I get week after week is, how do I control humidity? Why is it even a problem? And then we hear all kinds of questions about, so it's damp down there. Maybe it's too damp. Maybe it's not damp enough. How do I fix it? So what are all the different options? And it can be very simple, and it can be, complex, but more comprehensive. Everything from vents to encapsulation. And we'll take some time this morning to try to help you understand, what each thing may or may not do and how it might or might not be the right thing for you. And then something that is a little counterintuitive, at least initially for me, I grew up in the north, and so we were mostly basements, just different animal from a foundation perspective, way different soil types. And so when I saw things about like drain systems and water actually being in a crawl space, I kind of lost my mind a little bit. And that may not be, an appropriate response. So we'll talk about that. And then, Mark, I would like to talk about whether there's such a thing as like seasonality with crawl spaces. Is there a time of year that you should do something? Is there a time of year you should pay extra attention to it? So I think as we go through our seasons, maybe you can help us think correctly about whether there's, some unique element of crawl space maintenance or just attentiveness that's more appropriate in one season versus another. And then I did make a note here, Mark, I would like to talk about the maintenance piece because I don't think I had given any thought to that. And I don't think I had shared that anywhere in the different topics in our outline and stuff. And so maybe you can get us all up to speed on that. What do you think? Do those sound like topics we can nail down this morning?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are usually the common things people have questions about. And the seasonality and the maintenance are two new topics I don't think I've talked about when I've been on the show. So I think that'll be great information.
Awesome. All right. Well, folks, we are like right up against the break here, so we're going to go ahead and take it. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can call us at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. Or you can go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button, or do questions at askjohnanddave.com. Send us a question that way. No matter what, we want you to stay in touch, stay tuned, and stay on the air because we are going to be right back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Mark Steiner from DriPro.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for being with us this morning. Mark is the new general. Well, not new, really. Several months. But we're going to talk about crawl spaces this morning. And Mark, just real quick, we get a lot of questions about DriPro. And I know we have links to y'all on the Ask John and Dave website, but if somebody needed to catch up with y'all later in the week, what are the best ways to do that?
Yeah, so phone and internet are the best ways. The phone number is 704-523-9111, and then the DriPro or the website hasn't changed either. It's the number 4DriPro.com.
Perfect. So let's talk about the first thing, the first topic we had this morning was this humidity in the crawl space. It seems to most folks in our world, it's probably going to be a little dampish down there. But let's talk about, what is it? How is, why is it a problem? Can we monitor it? Just get us smart best we can catch on with respect to just humidity in the crawl space, please.
Yeah, so humidity is the number one problem with crawl spaces down here in the South because it's so humid outside. And humidity in a crawl space poses such a problem because all your floor framing and supports are down there and they're typically made of wood, which is susceptible to humidity in a couple ways. The first would be just the added moisture can weaken the structural integrity of the wood framing. And so most lumber was not meant to sit outside untreated. And so when the humidity soaks into that, it starts to weaken over time. And then the second, which most people know about, is mold. Mold will start to grow on those organic surfaces like the wood framing. And that obviously poses health issues and it can weaken the structural integrity of the wood as well.
Got it. So how do I know? Well, I think we can just assume that we've got humidity down there, right? It's foregone conclusion, but how do we know how much is down there and whether or not we've got a problem?
Yeah, so knowing you have a problem is probably easier to detect from up above without needing to go down there because it can show up with signs of cracking in your drywall or soft bouncy floors. If the china cabinet rattles when you walk across the dining room, those are signs that you potentially could have a humidity issue because your wood framing's getting a little soft. If you're brave enough to go down there, the different signs you can look for is if there is mold on the wood, they usually present themselves as dark brown spots or even white spots just on the wood. And it doesn't take an expert to to see it. If your wood's not looking crystal clean and clear, then you know you may have an elevated humidity issue.
Got it. We've talked to, David and I have spoken about just purchasing, you know, the little weather stations where you can put a monitor outside and it tells you temperature and humidity and so on, on a display inside the house. And we've suggested that folks would do that, putting the monitor down in the crawl space. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a great idea as well. We do that for our customers when we encapsulate their crawl space, just so they can see that the humidity is controlled. So that's a great thing that a homeowner can do pre-encapsulation to understand what their humidity is doing across several weeks or several months.
And if you put that, I mean, I don't want to go just totally into the weeds, but if you put a monitor like that down in the crawl space, how do you place it or where do you place it so that the readings you get don't give you either a false sense of security or create panic that doesn't need to really happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as centralized in the crawl space as you can is usually a good spot. If you have a whole lot of duct work in that spot, then don't put it there. You really just want it to be in an open area. We hang them from the floor joist, so we just put a small nail and hang it from the floor joist. It's just like where you would put it outside. You don't want it behind a giant bush or beaten in the sun.
Or in a cooking sun, yeah.
Yeah, so in the crawl space, you don't want it to be blocked by HVAC or plumbing, and you don't want it right next to the crawl space door either.
Right. So you're actually getting air moving around it to the extent that air moves, and it's capturing, it can sense as much of the air as possible. So
absolutely.
So I'm looking at the monitor in the house, and it says 70% relative humidity, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, 70 is right at our line. So when we encapsulate, we warranty that the humidity will stay below 65 because
okay.
We feel comfortable organic growth won't start at that level. Once you get between 65 and 70 and then above 70, you really start to get into the risk zone.
Got it. And so if I haven't had my crawl space encapsulated and I want to get the you know, the monitor in place and monitor it. I'm looking for my crawl space to be somewhere. What is again? I always think like 50% when I run a dehumidifier in a living space. Sounds like it can be a little bit higher than that in the crawl space.
Yeah, 50 for relative humidity is a magic number because that's the optimal comfort zone for most humans. When it comes to mold, you can tolerate a little higher humidity level. So if somebody's putting a weather station in their crawl space, if your humidity is really above the 65-70 mark, you know you're at risk for some humidity issues.
Got it. And then we won't dive. I want to talk a little bit later, and I have a tendency to be ADD. If you listen to the show, David, we'll joke about that with a fair amount of regularity. So I don't want to get all over the place, but there's such a thing as being too dry down there also, isn't there? Like for framing? Or maybe drying it out too fast might be a better way to say it.
You can dry it out too fast. Most, even commercial dehumidifiers, that's not a huge risk. When you get into restoration and you have big drying equipment, that could cause a problem. But most homeowners and even most encapsulation companies don't have the drying equipment to dry it out too fast. And really the over drying is not bad for the framing. That usually has a very low moisture content. The over drying comes into play when you have hardwood floors, and the hardwood floors are used to a certain humidity level, whether it's good or bad. It's used to whatever humidity level it has been exposed to. So if you dry it below what it's used to, you can start seeing some cracking in your hardwood floors.
Got it. Let's get Bill has a question here. Let's get Bill on the phone here. Bill, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, listen, I wanted to put some spray foam in my crawl space basement to insulate it. And I was wondering if that's the kind of thing a homeowner could do themselves. The reason I ask is because I've watched YouTube, and I've seen a bunch of people are complaining that people that know how to do it have come in and messed it all up. And I was wondering how difficult it actually is to do.
Well, before we tackle that, let me ask this question, Mark. Is spray foam something that is beneficial in a crawl space?
It is beneficial, and to Bill's point, if it is done right. My first question for Bill would be, are you planning to spray it in the joist cavity and on the joists, or are you planning to insulate it at the foundation wall?
In between the joists.
Okay. So any insulation value obviously is a benefit. There are a lot of obstacles you'll need to work around, mainly plumbing, electrical, your HVAC, and it's very difficult to get an even spray to where your insulating value is consistent through the whole crawl space.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so from even if you're an expert doing it, every crawl space is different. Every one presents obstacles, and that's why there's you know, experts out there that even don't do as great a job as should be.
So, okay, just real quick, Bill, a couple things. Just principally, when folks ask David and I about insulating a crawl space, we tend to go back to it. I can't remember the study, but there was some work done at the University of Texas, I think, trying to figure out, you know, what was the best thing to do. Money spent on insulating the crawl space, as in those floors, you definitely want to have insulation there from a comfort perspective. But the return on it from an energy savings perspective on insulation in that spot versus insulation in the attic or so on, it tends to be significantly less. And we're going to run right up against a break. So if you want to hang on and we bring you back after the break, that'd be good. The other thing I would just say, as I've been around like a long time, if the people who do it all day, every day, don't do it well, unless you're just really gifted by God to do those kinds of things naturally, I'm not sure that it makes sense that you're somehow going to get in there and do it better. I hope you don't take that as an insult. But if you don't mind waiting through the break, we'll bring you back after our break here, and we'll make sure we've answered this question thoroughly for you. It would be good to make sure, because it's a really good question. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're talking to Bill. We're talking to Mark Steiner, the general manager of DryPro, and we'll talk to you when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Mark Steiner from DryPro.
And Mark, thanks for being with us. We've got Bill hung on through the break for us. Bill, thanks so much for doing that. Just to reset the question, Bill's question was, hey, two things really. I want to insulate with spray foam my crawl space. Reading and going to YouTube, reading online and stuff, a lot of companies that actually do it professionally don't do a good job. And so I think, Bill, your question was, you know, can you do it yourself? Mark, I think you pointed out that one of the real challenges at the beginning of just spraying it is you've got to work around ductwork, wires, plumbing, all manner of things. And then, Mark, the other caution I think we would give you is, okay, let's just say you do a better job than the people who do it professionally. You work around all those things, and you've got it totally encapsulated. You lose what, in my opinion, and I think David would agree, and Mark, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on it. You lose one of the benefits of a crawl space, and that is access to all those things, plumbing and wires and things like that, if you need to move things around, if you need to troubleshoot. Mark, I don't know if you think that that's a fair assessment or not.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The nice thing about a crawl space is the access to all of that. And so you do lose your ease in accessing all of that when you spray foam.
So Bill, what I feel like we're kind of guiding you away from spray foam in that application. What discomfort or what concerns do you have that makes you want to do that?
Well, I thought you were supposed to insulate your, you know, the ceiling in the crawl space. For whatever
you are
reason, I'm not sure.
Yep. No, you are, because there is, wherever you have, and Mark, you might know this, I don't, wherever you have a temperature difference of some amount between the living area and what you want to sustain, you know, a place where you want to sustain a comfortable environment from a temperature perspective, you should insulate between that area and areas where you're going to have radically higher or radically lower temperatures. The good thing about a crawl space, as a general rule, is in our climate where we don't get wicked cold for protracted periods of time, and the fact that the ground itself always stays around 55 degrees, you typically don't have a big, big difference between the temperature in the crawl space and the desired temperature in the room above. Therefore, just tons and tons of insulation ends up being money spent that doesn't return in energy savings. So Mark, how should Bill think about that?
So as far as when you say supposed to insulate, code requires at least a minimum of R19 insulation between your crawl space and your first floor living space. So to check that box, all you would need to do is either batted, you know, fiberglass insulation at R19 or above, or you could go the spray foam route you've been talking about. If you're looking to do something that is beneficial to the home, get some energy savings across the life of or the time you're at the home and do a little better job than just the minimum of fiberglass, I would suggest you look at insulating your foundation wall and the benefits that come with that and encapsulating. Over time, you'll get better energy savings from that method versus spray foaming the joist cavity. But if you're looking to just add a little bit of extra comfort and then hit the minimum building code, I would not suggest investing the money in spray foam and just put some R19 insulation batting in between your floor joists.
Okay, so if I put the R19 fiberglass in there, it's faced or not?
I would suggest not faced, because the faced is a vapor barrier, but it is susceptible to mold growth and high humidity. So as long as you have a vapor barrier over your dirt floor to some degree, that would solve that. And then you can use unfaced insulation in your joist cavity.
Okay. All right, then. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your help.
No, thanks for the call, Bill, and thanks for waiting through the break. It made sure we got you good information. Appreciate it. All right, Bill squared away. We're going to get back into the conversation around crawl spaces. Clearly, we have good resources right here with us, Mr. Mark Steiner from DryPro. Mark, thanks again. Let's talk about some of the solutions, and we're going to be right up against the break here, so we can come back into detail. I don't want to rush us, but encapsulation may not be the only, or is not the only way to solve crawl space humidity challenges. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, that is correct. There's all sorts of different methods that have been used in the past and people still continue to try to improve on to use. And I always like talking about this because there is a lot of debate and there's not always one right answer. It depends on what type of homeowner you are and what benefits you're looking to get. And so I like talking about that.
All right, let's do this. We're going to be right up against the break, so we'll go to our break. When we come back, we'll do our Home Depot product of the week, and then we'll take a dive into the different solutions, because there's a lot of options, and in the right application, all of them make sense, or all of them make sense in the correct application. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or go to askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button. You can send us a note that way, and we can frequently get you connected with folks like Mark and other resources in the industry. So grab a cup of coffee. Don't go away and get ready to talk home improvement and crawl space when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Mark Steiner from DryPro.
And before we jump over to talk to Tom, let's get our Home Depot product of the weekend, because we kind of blew past that last segment just to make sure we got Bill taken care of. This week, I try to keep these sort of in line with our conversations. And since we're down in the crawl space, I thought a great product to talk about this week would be a Safer Home ant, roach, and spider killer. And why I like Safer Home is I live on a heavily wooded lot, but it's not just me. Bugs, as the seasons change, come in and go out. Mark, I'm sure you see that in your world as well. And so I want to keep them out, but I don't want to have these caustic chemicals going around. I don't want to do things that are going to damage my hardwood flooring or carpet, or be unsafe for pets or children. And so the Safer Home ant, roach, spider killer kills all the ones that you typically see, ants, roaches, silverfish, spiders, and so on. It's safe for kids. It's safe for pets. It doesn't harm surfaces. It's less than $10. Check it out. It's the Safer Home brand ant, roach, and spider killer. Actually, you'll see an entire line of Safer Home products designed for different sorts of pests and things like that. So check it out. It's our Home Depot product of the week for this week. Now let's talk to Tom. Tom, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Got a question that comes up from time to time, but with the Dry Pro guy there, I thought I'd ask again. Foundation vents, leave them open all the time, closed all the time, open seasonally, closed, and that sort of thing.
Great question.
Yeah, that's a very common question. So the original intent of foundation vents to open and close was really to close them in the winter to keep pipes from freezing. And that doesn't really apply in our area. But when you go further north that still have crawl spaces, that's a big issue. And so they were designed to close in the winter and then open in the summer. So if you take that intent down here, whether they're open or closed, it really doesn't matter, because we're very rarely at risk of our pipes freezing in a crawl space. If you do leave them open, that obviously promotes more airflow through the crawl space. But I think we'll get to it in a minute. Airflow through the crawl space during this any time of year could have its benefits and could not. In the summertime, that airflow typically is hot and humid, and so you're just promoting more hot, humid air into your crawl space. So what I typically tell people is if they are relying on their vents and just want to know should they open or close them, they can just leave them open all year round and they'll be fine.
Okay, that's very helpful. Sort of a related question. I've got a vapor barrier, just 6 mil poly in my crawl space. Should that cover just the perimeter or 100% or some other percentage or what?
Yeah, it should cover 100%.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it. You've been very helpful. Thank you very much.
Tom, you read two really important questions. Thank you for your call. All right. Tom is off. Here comes Jim. Good morning, Jim. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Yeah, I had talked to you folks, or not talked to you, but I'd listened to the program, and you guys had talked about people that clean dryer vents and so forth, and I don't remember the name of the company at all, and if there was more than one. Or
I don't either. There was one that we used to talk about. I want to say it was like Coit Services, but I don't know that they're still active in the Charlotte area. Mark, do you have somebody that you guys recommend for that?
So we don't just have a standard recommendation, but I do know, because I drive by them all the time on my way home, Dryer Vent Wizard is a company that'll clean or install dryer vents. And I see their trucks mainly around South Charlotte, but I'm pretty sure they have a few different areas they service in Charlotte.
And that might have been the one that might have been who David referred to, Jim.
Okay, that was Dryer Vent Wizards?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. That may be it. I just, one of the things that I had listened to, I'd heard, listen to the program pretty much every weekend and so forth. And I'd heard about that. And I had a situation that came up that probably need to have something done with it. And I thought I'd call in. And that's, it's a good one to start with anyhow.
Yep. Well, okay, appreciate we're, We're glad you called. Thank you for that. If you still, if you're not sure or you're not getting, you know, where you want to go, just shoot us a note at AskJohnAndDave.com, okay, and David will confirm that that's the person, or if you have somebody else, he'll share that
too. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go back, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave, 704-570-1110. We're talking to Mark Steiner. Mark is a general manager, one of our longtime resources and partners, DryPro. Mark, we want to talk about what are the different options when you say, hey, I have to do something with humidity in my crawl space.
Yeah. And so when I speak to homeowners, I try to use an analogy that's easy to understand. And so you typically, if you're dealing with heat and humidity just in your home, you got three types of people. You got the people who open the windows to try to air it out. You got the people who use fans and attic fans and different things to promote airflow. And then you got the people who just shut it all down and turn the air conditioning on.
Got it.
And crawl spaces are the same way. So you're dealing with heat and humidity in your crawl space. So you have people who want to look at adding vents or opening their vents and promoting outside air. So talking about that solution, the challenge is not so much the heat in your crawl space, it's the humidity that comes in from the outside air. And so adding vents or leaving them open and trying to reduce humidity really just doesn't work through the humid months that we have down here. You're actually promoting more humidity to come in. And so I think over time, it's been pretty well known, adding vents really just doesn't work to control humidity. But there are people who just try to get that outside air running through there and letting the crawl space breathe. It's just not a great solution. The other option would be add fans or vent fans, or there even are dew point controlled fans where your vents would open or close based on the dew point. And that's a step in the right direction, because you're using the outside air when it is less humid than the air in your crawl space to allow that air to come in. So those fans open and close based on the conditions outside versus what's in your crawl space. So when they sense the air is nice and dry outside, they'll open up, they'll let that air come into your crawl space to try to lower the humidity in there. And there's several different versions of that. It works great through the winter months, through the cool fall months when the humidity is very low outside. Mm-hmm. The challenge with them is they stay closed pretty much all spring and summer long when the air outside is humid. So that means your crawl space isn't getting any sort of relief from the humidity. You don't have outside air coming in, and then you don't have any air movement. So those types of systems usually rely on some sort of backup dehumidifier during those summer months. The other option is what DryPro does, and it's encapsulating. We're more of the mind of shut everything down and turn the air conditioning on,
right,
because we know it works and it doesn't take long for it to work. And so the third option is encapsulate your crawl space, seal off all your vents permanently so air doesn't leak through, and then put in a dehumidifier that is rated to be in a crawl space and treat the square footage of your crawl space. And the great thing about that is not only does it work well and work quickly during those winter and cooler fall months when it is less humid outside, that means it's still going to be less humid in your crawl space. And so the dehumidifier doesn't run. And so you're not wasting any electricity on that.
So it is. It does. The reason folks ask about encapsulation, and the reason that encapsulation is probably the most popular topic, is because it's kind of like saying, hey, I want to cool off my house, and really having air conditioning is the best way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You mentioned dehumidifiers. You said like with a dew point fan. I like that idea, because I was going to say, hey, well, maybe the right thing to do is just the opposite of the temperature controlled fans, right? Have them open up in the winter and shut down in the summer down here. But clearly that's not correct. But I like the dew point option. And then you said, hey, if you've got that, they shut down during the summer, so maybe using them in conjunction with a dehumidifier, would be a good thing. We've only got about a minute left before our break. What if someone wants to put a dehumidifier down there, are there certain things that they should consider, as in type of humidifier, drainage, stuff like that?
Yeah, if somebody wants to put a dehumidifier in, it's important to cover the entire ground and seal the moisture off from that the ground exudes up. And then the on top of that, make sure your vents are sealed nice and tight and permanently. You don't want to just put a dehumidifier down.
And then just dehumidify the neighborhood. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. All right, we got to take our break, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We have Mark Steiner, the general manager of DryPro. Call us at 704-570-1110. Great questions for Mark. Great questions for home improvement. If you've got them, we don't have to talk about crawl spaces. We want to talk about what is really most important for you when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I am John Gordon.
And I'm Mark Steiner with DryPro.
Mark, thanks for being with us this morning. We're talking about all things crawl space. Before we dive into our next topic, let's talk to, we have a caller, Wayne. Wayne, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I guess I'm calling as a praise report. I have actually been in my industry for a little over 38 years now. I had learned from the actual large corporations in the United States and worldwide of how to do crawl space work. That was great theology as far as a lot of this and that. Throw your poly down, go under the house, get it 70%, get your crawl space dry. But you had continuing problems throughout that year until the guy rotated back around. You had conditions of wood rot, fungus, and things of that nature. You know, and the guys in my industry would probably be looking for my head right now, but your bug man does not need to be under your house selling you this and selling you that. What you gentlemen, you know, my hat's off to you, because I actually own a house. I bought into a home 2 years ago, and I had the same system under the house by you guys. You know, their theology is great, but you guys have a science. You guys are basing your career off of a science. Again, not my industry. I've done it. I'm second generation doing what I do, but you're, here's some poly. We're going to throw 70% down and it's going to take care of all your problems.
Yeah.
But it's not. Yeah. I've got homes that I've walked into this week, as a matter of fact, that has had the same company years and years. They have not offered them any kind of dehumidifier, and the ones that are doing it, they're kind of a economy line, dehumidifying system. Basically, folks, you're getting what you pay for out there, too. Like I said, I bought a home 2 years ago down here in the Rockingham area. And, again, my hat's off to you guys. You know, it's nice to open up the door and you don't get hit with this big burst of
nasty
humidity. You don't crawl and your back's not soaking wet under the house when you get to the low spots. I mean, this is nice. This is science.
But Wayne, thank you for the call.
The point of all this is just, this has been, you know, your exterminators, they do good work. They base their careers off science as well.
Yep. But so exterminators should do exterminating, and crawl space people should do crawl space. It sounds like what your advice is.
That's exactly right. It took me a long time to figure that one out. My hat's off to you guys. Have a good day, John.
Wayne, thank you for sharing that. That's awesome guidance, and it really lends credibility, because, Mark, the next thing I put in this outline is like, okay, we want to talk about, you know, crawl spaces and do I have a problem or not? And one of the questions is, well, should I get it inspected? Or one of the questions that we get is, hey, my exterminator was out, and he or she said, I have an issue down there, and he or she said, this is what I should do. may or may not be right. Wayne is conceding, hey, what I was taught as an exterminator about crawl spaces is great for extermination, but not necessarily for crawl space encapsulation. I'm going to just say this, Mark, before you comment. One of the reasons that David and I continue to have a partnership with DryPro is because when we connect DryPro with a caller or a customer and they go out and they make the determination that the fix is really very simple and or there's no issue here at all, that is precisely what's told the customer. There is no desire to sell something that's not needed. We are 1,000% confident. So, Mark, you probably, I mean, you could say that and people may or may not believe it. It could be puffery, whatever. I'm saying that's the reason for ever how many years we've been doing this. DryPro is one of the folks that we think we can trust with regard to that. But then if that's the case, really, what do you do when the termite inspector says, hey, you got issues and you got to spend $2,000 to get this fixed?
Yeah, that's a great question. Number one, don't ignore it. If you don't trust them or you don't know that they really know what they're talking about, they obviously saw something that mm-hmm. didn't look right. And so don't ignore it. Termite inspections, pest control, even people, HVAC companies doing routine maintenance, anybody in your crawl space, we use them as a resource to see what your crawl space looks like during that time of year that they're out. So if somebody says you have an issue, don't get all freaked out and sign up for anything that sounds good that day, but don't ignore it. I would just do your due diligence and call a crawl space company to get better information or more information and make an educated decision based on that. It kind of leads to the seasonality you wanted to talk about, John. A lot of people have quarterly pest control people come out to their home. Mm-hmm. And when you have a pest control company come to your home between maybe November and March, they're going to tell you your crawl space is not humid. You don't have any issues in your crawl space. You're good to go. They're going to measure the wood moisture content, and it's going to be within a normal range. The reason for that, if your crawl isn't encapsulated, is because that's what it's like outside. And so they're not doing anything wrong or giving you a false sense of hope by reporting that. The challenge is they didn't measure during the hot, humid season to see what your crawl space goes through at the most humid time of year.
Got it.
And so we love the pest control companies who do their due diligence and measure wood moisture content. But just like any industry, there's guys who are brand new to it and don't know what it means and just try to sell something. And then there's others who do. My advice is if somebody says something looks wrong, get other opinions. Don't go with somebody you trust.
Got it. All right. That is awesome advice. Folks, don't go away. We're going to take a little break here. We're running just a touch late. We're at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk home improvement, crawl spaces, when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Mark Steiner with DryPro.
Mark, thanks for being with us. We got a couple callers here before we dive back into some of the topics we want to hit on. So let's get Wayne, a different Wayne. Good morning, Wayne. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Stellar. How can we help?
Great. Listen, I'm about to be moving into a seven-year-old house down in Rock Hill. And the crawl space has been encapsulated with a dehumidifier. Well, that's cool. But the discharge from that, the water goes out into the side yard mm-hmm. and kind of creates a mess.
Yeah.
What do you do with that discharge? What can you do to make it not messy out there?
I've got an idea if you don't have a recommendation for that, Mark.
So that's something we deal with every single day when we put our systems in. The first question would be, does the water get pumped out of your crawl space with a condensation pump, or does it rely on gravity?
Oh, no, there's a pump in there.
Okay. I think that's good. That gives you some better options. Being that it's pumped out, what I did when we put my crawl space dehumidifier in was I transitioned it into a larger and extended it further out into the yard to a bubble pot. And so I basically have a catch basin where the water goes instead of it just flowing out into the yard haphazardly. Now I may have a different amount of water than you're dealing with. I'd be curious what John's idea was.
So it was fundamentally that, Mark. It's just we've had the same challenge. And Wayne, typically we tell someone to dig what we would call, I think we call like a dry well, or digging out of place, mm-hmm. far enough away from the foundation, actually digging a hole, lining it with, landscape fabric, filling it back up with stone, then a layer of mm-hmm. landscape fabric, and then some more dirt on top of it so you can put grass over it or whatever. But it just becomes a place where more water can be accommodated and then dissipated into the soil versus having that swamp area that you're probably right. trudging through. So I think that's what you were referring to also, Mark, and is one of the solutions, right?
Yeah, same thing. Okay. And the other option you could do is, since you do have a condensation pump, if there's a better area in your yard that maybe has uh-huh. a little, run the condensation line to a different area of your yard.
I see. Now, if I dig that hole, how deep and how big around should it be?
It depends on how much water you have. So I think you're going to rely on some judgment on your part. For me, my dehumidifier, I extended a line about 12 feet out into my yard, and I have probably about 2 5-gallon buckets sized hole it went well that mine drains into, and it takes care of it.
Okay.
There's one other thing.
That makes sense.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, Wayne. There's one other thing, and I don't know what the situation is at your home. Sometimes your downspouts will be, pumped to a drain, and then carried to some spot on the property. If that's the case, you might actually be able to pump into the, as long as you're confident that is clear and not going to back up on you. That might be an option also. Mark, is that adequate advice, or is that correct advice?
Yeah, the key with that is making sure you know where the downspout's clear.
Right.
If you're confident in that, then that would be an option. The risk is if they are slightly clogged up or clogged, then you're going to bring that mess into the crawl space eventually.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Well, great advice, guys. Thanks so much. I called on the right day.
You did. Mark. You got the resident expert.
Thank you, John.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks so much. Have an awesome day. All right, let's talk to Pat. Good morning, Pat. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I live in a townhome community, and in the back of the units, there's a 2-story downspout that ends at the foundation and goes underneath ground with a black PVC pipe
mm-hmm.
and then runs out perpendicular to the building about 25 feet and ends in a pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
And we have discovered that almost all of these drains are clogged. And so we've been having companies come out to give us prices on cleaning them out. We thought that they would do a Roto-Rooter type thing mm-hmm. like you would snake a drain, but they have been saying that that might break the corrugated pipe, and that they would use a 3,000 PSI spray and go in at the joint at the foundation and just spray everything out.
Mm-hmm.
But we are just getting conflicting opinions on how it should be addressed. One said that all of them should be dug up and replaced. Just wanted to know if you had any insight.
So Mark, doesn't Ron have somebody that does that? Or maybe I'm confused, but first let me answer the question, Pat. The guidance that you're getting, not to get an aggressive auger in there, but to use a high velocity PSI water is the correct answer. The only thing that could make a difference is it's entirely possible that those black corrugated pipes have collapsed in some places. And in which case you can, you know, blow through there all you want. You might even get it opened up enough that, that water drains for a while, but as soon as the dirt, you know, collects back in from the, in the collapsed area, you're clogged again. People may be telling you that they may be suggesting that you just tear it up and replace it because of that possibility. I think if it was me, I would do the hosing out first just to see. Mark, did, I don't know that anybody actually runs a scope down those things, but I guess you could get someone out to scope it too, couldn't you?
We've gotten a price for that, that a guy wants to come out and use a camera on all of them first.
Yeah.
And then do the ones that need cleaning out. But the price is exorbitant.
Is it?
But maybe that's reality, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark?
What I would suggest, typically with downspouts, that it's not clogged to where it doesn't drain. It's crushed to at some point, which allowed it to clog. And so scoping it would obviously be able to tell you which case is which. But using the high velocity pressure washer tells you the same thing the scope does, to be honest. If they're pumping that water at a high velocity down through there and the water's not making it to the pop-up, well, you got your answer that your pipe's crushed and you're going to need to dig it up. So my suggestion, just along with John, is you definitely don't want to use some sort of a aggressive agitator or snake in a corrugated pipe. So you'd want to go more the pressure high velocity, and that would be a good first step to do that, because that'll tell you if they're crushed and need to be replaced, or you'll see the water come shooting out of that pop up at a real high velocity like it should, and then you'd clear.
And Pat, if you do replace them, if you determine some need to be replaced, our strong recommendation would be to replace them with a smooth pipe. You don't have to go schedule 40, but they make, I call it like 1500 pound crush. I don't know the right schedule, but it's a thinner wall, but much more durable than the corrugated pipe. And so if you're going to go through the headache of replacing it, and the expense of replacing it, I would make this the next investment, which is to put something in there that's not going to get crushed. When I redid a section at our house, I redid all of that, and that's what I put in, and I am so grateful. So I think that would be some reasonable advice also.
Great.
Yep. You have two options. That John's talking about, but you also have a dual wall corrugated pipe.
Ah.
So on the outside, it looks like corrugated pipe, but on the inside, it's smooth. The advantage to that is that you get your smooth inside that's advantageous, but then you also get a little bit of flexibility still out of the pipe. So it's easier to lay and easier to get the right pitch.
Thanks. Hey, Pat, we're right up against the break here. If we haven't answered your question thoroughly, hang tight. We'll make sure we get you after the break. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave, and we're going to be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Mark Steiner with DryPro.
Mark, thanks for being with us. Before we jump back to Pat, I want to take a second and do our Home Depot product of the week. And I do like to keep these sort of aligned with our conversations or general conversations for the week. And since we're in the crawl space, and since there can be bugs down there, I wanted to talk about a product that I like. And it's the Safer Home, and that's the brand, Safer Home Ant, Roach, and Spider Killer. I like it because you want to keep those critters out of the house. You want to kill them if they're in the house, but you don't want to have caustic chemicals for pets and for children and for sensitive surfaces. And the Safer Home product does all those things and does not do all the bad things. And it's less than $10. So that's it. Our Home Depot product of the week for this week, Safer Homes Ant, Roach, and Spider Killer. All right. Next, let's go back to Pat. Pat, thanks for waiting through the break. We were talking about your clogged drains for the downspouts, and Mark suggested a really cool solution, which was instead of the lighter well, heavier than corrugated pipe, but lighter than Schedule 40 drain pipe. He talked about a dual wall, so you get corrugated on the outside, which gives it some strength, but smooth on the inside, so water moves through it quickly and things don't build up. But then we had to go to our break. And so what additional information can we provide? Maybe Pat's not there. All right. Then we're going to assume that we have answered Pat's questions adequately and wish her good luck. We're at 704, folks, we're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We have Mark Steiner, General Manager of DryPro, a long-term partner resource of Ask John and Dave or the Home Improvement Show. We're talking about a lot of different things. I think you said that the last conversation we had, I think, was an important one, Mark, and it was... We were talking about, hey, who should be doing inspections, termite folks, and you said, hey, look, if a termite person comes in the drier time of year and does an inspection, they're going to give you a clean bill of health. It's important to get in there in the more humid times of year, as in right now. I think July and August in this area are probably the most humid times of the year. In fact, I think I saw a gopher that had drowned on our property, and he was nowhere near water. He was just breathing. So that was terrible humor. Known for that. So talk a little bit about, should somebody actually make it a point to do an inspection this time of year, Mark?
Yeah, it's a great idea to get an inspection when it is the most humid time of year. That's going to tell you how at risk you are of damage occurring from humidity.
Okay.
And so, like as I said, pest controls usually do them quarterly, so it's important to really pay attention to your second and third quarter inspection from them. And then you also can call crawl space companies like us, and we do free inspections. And so we can certainly come out and measure the relative humidity and the wood moisture content and just share with you where you're at the worst time, because that's it. Really where the damage starts to occur.
Okay. I want to go to to talk a little bit about the drain systems, but two things or a question that I wanted to follow up on that. So if someone comes out and does an inspection, they should give you information about the relative humidity and the moisture content in the framing members of the wood. Anything else?
Those are the two big ones, because the relative humidity tells you where you're at that day and time. It's like a snapshot of when he took the reading. The wood moisture content gives you an idea of a little bit longer period of time where the humidity has been. So those are the most important quantitative reports they can give you. Aside from that, a good visual inspection is going to be important to make sure there's no standing water or settling columns or things like that.
Got it. All right. So one of the things that blew my mind was crawl spaces that had like drain systems in them, or like water was coming in and then being dealt with. When is that appropriate, and kind of how should that work?
It's really appropriate anytime you have water in the crawl space, but it's not the only option. So we always have promoted getting as much water away from the foundation as you can. You extend your downspouts and you make sure the grade is sloped away from your home. As long as you're responsible in that, if you're still getting water into the crawl space, that's when an interior drain would be an appropriate solution.
Got it. Okay. All right. So we're coming up on our final break here. What might be good, Mark, is if instead of grabbing a cup of coffee in this break, not that you're doing that, but think about, I would love if you would leave us in this next segment with like three things that you want everybody to take away from this conversation. And I say three because, I don't know, it's a nice round number. But what are the things when somebody says, okay, I was listening to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Mark Steiner from DryPro was on. And, man, this is what I got. And my life will be different from a crawl space perspective as a function of knowing these three things. Is that a fair request?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we're coming up on a break. It's your last chance to sneak a quick question in here before we have to wrap up. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. If you got more complex questions about this stuff, we can communicate with the folks at DryPro all the time. So send us a note at questions@askjohnanddave.com or go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button. Don't go away. We're going to get the biggies from Mark Steiner at DryPro when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Mark Steiner with DryPro.
Mark, thanks again for being with us. Lots of great information. We could probably do this, I don't know, a lot, because I feel like there's, as I was, you know, thinking about things and listening to questions, we really didn't spend any time talking about getting outside the house. I mean, you mentioned it a minute ago, but there's really a lot of things that you guys have good counsel on with respect to getting outside the house. We didn't talk about things when you're in the construction phase that can make it easier down the road. But we've worked together a long time. I imagine we'll continue to do that. So we'll just have you back and dig into all those things. Let's take a minute though, thinking back over all the different conversations, because we talked about, you know, humidity, what are the solutions, which ones make sense, which ones are the best solution. We didn't touch on maintenance really much, and we said we would do that. And then I want to get what you think are the top things that you would like our listeners to take away. Do you want to just give us a thumbnail look at maintenance and then give us our top takeaways?
Yeah, so maintenance is real quick. There's two primary mechanical devices in an encapsulation. It's your dehumidifier, and if you have a drain system, you may have a sump pump. Both of those are machines. They're mechanical. They require maintenance, and you want to make sure that they're in good standing, because you don't want to find out they're not when your crawl space floods or your humidity spikes back up.
Right.
So having an annual service for somebody to check those out, make sure they're in good standing, is important after you do decide to encapsulate.
Do you recommend putting either battery backup or an alarm on the sump?
So all of our sump pumps come standard with an alarm. And so that's important to know if your sump pump's not working. Battery backup is a great option if the only time the power goes out usually is when there's a big rainstorm. And
right.
So a battery backup is certainly important as well.
Okay, cool. All right, then. Swami of Crawl Space Wisdom, what do you think? What are the big things that we should take away from this discussion?
It's more a mindset around the crawl space. So do not get your crawl space is a part of your home, and it is a super important part of your home. Do not get caught up in the out of sight, out of mind mentality. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, get it inspected at least yearly, and do it when it is hot and humid to be able to see it at its worst.
At its worst.
Those are the two really mindsets we try to embark on our homeowners. And then lastly, with those two, if you do happen to have an issue in your crawl space, it really only gets more expensive over time with the damage it can cause. And so be very diligent in tackling any issues that may come up.
Very good. Good counsel. I guess it'd be good. I think, well, probably bad for me. Like, you want to see your crawl space at its worst. And I'm thinking, golly, in a marriage, it'd be nice to know, you know. But I'm pretty sure if Barb saw me today, we probably wouldn't be married. So I guess let's leave all of the worst to the crawl spaces. Let me put one more thing in here. I think that you guys my guess is, Mark, that y'all wouldn't talk about it. But so first, the inspection piece of it is like super important. If you've got some questions, give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, because I'll wrap us up here in just a little bit. But one of the things that I wanted to call out, Mark, that I said or I alluded to early on, and it's not something I believe that the kind of the culture that Ron has built and clearly that you are sustaining is a really good one and a really healthy one. One of the things that David and I really, really rely on is the ability to refer to people like yourselves who are going to take care of the problems that you have, and not try to do something that doesn't need to be done. We would say, David and I know, I'm speaking for David when I say this, the integrity, the information, the solutions, the thoughtful solutions are all things for which we are most grateful. Your sponsorship of the show is great, but that we weren't always together as sponsors, but we were always relying on that integrity and the information and solutions, and for that we are really, really grateful. That's not something probably that you or Ron would talk about, but it's something David and I talk about all the time. So thank you for that. I did just get a note pop up on the screen. Someone called and said the toilet bubbles when they empty the bathtub, or the bathtub bubbles when they flush the toilet. I couldn't remember which it is. Doesn't matter. The same solution probably exists for both. It sounds like there's a venting problem. And that, in other words, air can't get through to let the one or the other drain properly. Probably worth having someone come take a look at it to make sure. There's different things you can do to check vents. Sometimes there's an air admittance valve under a sink in a remote, or like a location in the middle of a house where they haven't gotten something going all the way up to the roof. That could be part of the challenge also. But we're typically, when that happens, you've got a scenario where there is a venting issue. And so when the stack to the roof isn't venting, it will draw air in from somewhere, and it's doing it in the bathtub when you flush the toilet. Chris, did I get that order right? Bathtub bubbles when the toilet flushes? Okay. All right. We got 4 minutes left. Mark, any last minute thoughts? We didn't touch the outside of the house. Anything to think about, or you want to point folks in the direction for just getting outside the house?
Yeah, just the two most important is get the downspouts away and make sure your yard is pitched away from the home. Aside from that, really more landscape maintenance. Make sure your big foundation shrubs are not just pushing right up against the foundation. Make sure you can see a path at least behind those big shrubs. They don't cause a big issue structurally, but they may hide some signs or symptoms of a foundation problem if you can't take a look at it. So just keep shrubs away, keep water away. Good.
So for irrigation where you have, plantings and stuff close to the foundation, is a drip irrigation the best solution there?
Drip works really controlled. Important is too much water is not good for the plants or the foundation. So whichever type you have, as long as you regulate how much water's going in, then you'll avoid any issues.
Awesome. All right. So we'll wrap up, folks. Genuinely appreciate your being with us this morning. Having Mark Steiner from DryPro with us. Mark, I jotted down that the number was 704-523-9111. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then the website, www.4drypro.com. That's our web connection, correct?
Absolutely.
All right, you are officially in good hands, folks. We're saying, look, get into the crawl space. First off, think about it as a part of the house, as a part of the home that is not out of sight, out of mind. We talked about last week and the week before deferred maintenance programs and procrastination on home improvement. The crawl space is not one of the places that we want to do that. Mark, I think you made it pretty clear that you've got structural members of the house up underneath there. And when you have issues there, you have big, big issues. So don't put it out of sight, out of mind. And then do get an inspection, and do get an inspection from somebody who's qualified to make those assessments. Love our inspectors for the termite people, and we even had one gentleman, Warren, call us about that. But at the end of the day, they're great for insects and rodents and things like that, and you need a crawl space inspector to take care of the crawl space, to take care of the crawl space issues. So you've got lots of options: encapsulation, vents. Hey, let's take one more second. I'm going to run out of time, but I'll make this fast. The age-old question came up, Mark. Foundation vents, open or closed? And we concluded that in this environment, really closing them in the wintertime makes never mind. We just don't get cold enough for it to be an issue. So we're saying leave them open. The only challenge with open is we do let humid air in the summertime. So there it is. 10 years from now, God willing, we'll see if that advice changes, because it certainly changed from our original conversations about closing them for the wintertime. Mark Steiner from DryPro, General Manager, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate the partnership that we have with you guys.
Thank you for having me.
It was a delight. Folks, we hope that this was as informative for you as it was enjoyable for us. And each week, we like to remind you that we think the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. As you get busy about all the things this week, don't forget to work on that project. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.